Genesis 3 this morning. Hope you've had a good week, this week in the Lord. Certainly better than we deserve.
Amen.
All right, we're just going to read one verse in Genesis 1. We'll read it together, and that'll be verse 1 this morning. We're going to read it together. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Thank you. You can be seated, and I'll read the rest of it in Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. The serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doeth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave it also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shall they eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat till thou return into the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin, and he clothed them. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you this morning, Lord, for another opportunity that we have to gather together, Lord, and assemble ourselves, Lord, into the presence of God and before his word. And we ask, Lord, this morning that the Holy Spirit of God will undertake, Lord, to bless this service. And Lord, we claim the promises of the word of God this morning. And we ask the Lord to help us today. And Lord, if he's lost here today, if they've already been prayed for several times before they ever got to the building today. And we pray for those that are saved, that Lord, we might be fed today from the word of God. And our hearts dealt with, Lord, about things that, Lord, we may need, Lord, today to confess and bring before the Lord in repentance. And Lord, we ask today that the Holy Spirit will give us liberty today to preach, and we'll be careful to thank and praise you for all you do for us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Genesis is no doubt one of the most important books of the Bible.
Amen.
They're all, of course, important, but Genesis is the book of beginning.
Right.
We notice there in the verse that we read in verse 1 of chapter 1, the Bible said, in the beginning, God. And Genesis is a book of first things, and the first things, God. The very first verse is, in the beginning, God. And so he comes before all things.
Amen.
He should. He seldom does, but he should come before all things. In the beginning, God. Go all the way through the book, and we have the beginning of just about everything that we can think about. We have the beginning of human government. We have the beginning of the first man, Adam. We have the beginning of the first marriage, Adam and Eve. Chapter 4, we have the beginning of the first murder. Cain murders his own brother Abel. And so it is a book of beginnings. But I don't want to go through the whole book this morning. I just want to settle in chapter 3 that I've read down to verse 21 this morning. And in those 21 verses this morning, there's five things that are mentioned there for the first time. First time they're mentioned. They're mentioned many times after throughout the Word of God. But their first mention is here in chapter 3. And we notice there in verse 1, the Bible said, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, if God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Now, this is the first mention this morning of Satan in the human affairs. We know this morning that we have a complete Bible. We believe that we have the completed revelation of God that He wants us to have. From Genesis to Revelations, we believe that that's not all that God knows, but it's all He wants us to know. And so we have a completed Bible. Psalms 12 and verse 6 said, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified seven times over. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation and forever." So we know we have the Word of God. Now, if knowing that we have the complete Word of God, those that study the Bible, know the Bible, maybe been in church and heard the Bible preached, we know that Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, they tell us about the devil and about his beginning. We know that he was first created as a cherubim, an archangel, if you will, and we read about how that he failed due to sin. He desired to be like God. He desired to take God's place. But yet the first mention of the devil as far as human affairs is concerned is here in verse 1. And this one verse this morning tells us so much. It is amazing how much God can get in one verse. I say it's amazing how little God can say and say so much. It's amazing how much I can say and say so little. But God has the ability to just be able to pack so much into one little verse. And in that one verse about this first mention of the devil, it tells me that the devil is very wily. In other words, the Bible uses the word subtile, which means cunning or crafty or wise. And the devil is more wiser than most people give him credit for. The Bible said in Ezekiel, it's Daniel, he said, "Thou wiser than Daniel." Daniel was a pretty wise fellow. You read about Daniel, he unfolded prophecies. He told about end times. He was a pretty wise individual. And yet the Bible tells us that Satan is wiser than the devil. He's called here in this verse, he's called that old serpent. Jesus said one time, he said, "Be wise as a serpent, but be harmless as a dove." So a serpent's pretty wise. They know how to get in places. Miss Alice could testify to that this morning when they moved in a house one time and she got in the bed and somehow an old serpent had got into bed there. I don't know if she'd ever done any shouting before, but she did some that day. And an old snake can just get in places. They have a way to do that. And you know the devil's that way. He can just get in places that he really thought he couldn't get in. He has a way of just finding the least little crack, the least little crevice, some way to get in. And isn't the devil that way? When we think about how subtle he is and how cunning and how crafty and how wise that he is, that he just came right into the garden that day and came right into the first home that day. We find him all through the Bible doing that over and over and over again. I tell you something else this verse tells me. The devil knows the Word of God.
Oh, yeah.
He knows it better than any preacher that's ever lived. Other than the Lord Jesus, he knows the Bible.
Yeah.
He quotes it here. Yeah. In Genesis 3 and 1, he quotes it. He says, "Yea, God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Now, we know that he misquotes it, but he knows what it really says. He knows that. I was in revival this week, and Brother Andy was preaching down there, and he brought out something I hadn't really never seen before. And it went right along with what I'm preaching this morning. But he was talking about how the devil knew the Bible. He knows the Word of God. And he actually quoted it to Jesus in Matthew 4. Jesus quoting the Bible to him. And in verse 6, the devil says unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Now in Genesis 3 and 1, he quotes it and he adds to it. He adds to every tree. God didn't say every tree. God said one tree.
Amen.
But when he quotes this to Jesus, this is Psalms 91 verse 11, he takes away from it. And that's the way the devil does. He always adds to or he always takes away.
Amen.
Satan knows the Word of God. And one of the things that will pinpoint a cult every time is that they will quote the Bible. They'll have you confused. You'll think, man, I missed this somehow or another.
Right.
But then you get the Bible and begin to read it, you find out they've added the Word or they've left the Word out. Every time, that's the way the devil does.
Right.
Amen. And so the devil's very wily. The devil, he knows the Word of God. He knows the Bible. That's why every Christian needs to study their Bible, read the Bible, learn the Bible, believe the Bible. Don't just know it because your preacher preached it. Know it because you read it.
Amen.
Don't just know it because your Sunday school teacher said it. Know it because you've read it and know what it says. Amen. Because the devil will use the Word of God. Every cult that's ever been started, and we birthed a lot of them here in America, and every one of them claims to use the Word of God.
Yeah.
Every one of them claims to be Bible believers and Bible teachers, but the truth is that the devil's behind all that.
Amen.
The devil's one that corrupts the Word of God.
Yeah.
He takes away from the Word of God. You get some of these newer versions and you see where he's deleted whole passages and he's took things out. And, and I showed a fellow the other day there in my office, I was showing him how the NIV, what it did there, where the eunuch, Philip and the eunuch were there, how it deleted a whole verse. The
rock
is still there, but the verse is gone. And of course, Bible preachers, Bible teachers, they got pointing that out so much that it came back to the, of course, the translators and the people selling the Bible. And so now if you buy one, you go down to the bottom of the page and they put a little footnote down there and saying that verse was omitted. My question is, why was it omitted in the first place? You find over there in one place where he tells a lie about Goliath, and every Sunday school kid knows who killed Goliath. But you'll find over there in NIV that it says something different. Well, we know who the father of lies is. I just like this good old King James Bible. I'll tell you why I like it so much, because the devil hates it so much. He hates this Bible more than any other Bible, and that helps me to know it's the right Bible. And so the devil, he knows the Word of God. And then this verse tells me this: the devil always attacks the weaker one. Always. You see, Adam and Eve, they God had planted there in the garden. The old devil came there in verse 1 and he said unto the woman, now we know from the Word of God, we know that Adam was not deceived but the woman. Now, I'm not saying Adam couldn't be deceived. But I'm saying the devil deceived the woman first. He knew the woman was the weaker vessel. And he probably knew that if he deceived the woman, that she would have her way of deceiving the man. And then the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 3 and 7, It tells us that the woman were to dwell with them according to knowledge, as them having, being the weaker vessel. So we know they're weaker physically, a natural woman. I'm talking about these women on steroids and lifting weights and look like a man. I'm not talking about them. But God's woman, Proverbs 31 woman, virtuous woman, is always the weaker vessel. Amen. So we see the devil attacks the weak one. That's what he does in the church. He jumps on the young convert. He jumps on the one that's not been reading their Bible, not been praying, and become anemic and spiritually have lost strength. That's the one the devil works on. So that behooves us this morning that we need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We need to stay in the Word of God. We need to watch, because our adversary, the devil, stalks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And we just need to be on the watch for the devil. But that's the first time that the devil's mentioned. And the first time he's mentioned, he shows up not in the church, but he shows up in the home.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
The first time he's mentioned, he shows up between husband and wife.
Amen, brother.
The first time, you see, the devil knows if he can disrupt the home, and God knows he's done it.
Bless him, Lord.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
God knows he's done it. I was teaching in Deuteronomy Wednesday night. I was showing them how after World War II that we put all these missile bases all around to protect ourselves from Cuba and Russia and China and all these foreign countries. But as always, the devil did not attack from out in these other countries. The devil attacked right in the midst of America. And we destroyed ourselves morally. We destroyed ourselves spiritually by getting rid of God. And it had nothing to do with China or Russia or any of them. Back when I first started preaching, there was a paper floating around that a communist leader put out, and he said that we'll one day take America, but he said we'll never fire a shot. He said we'll destroy America from within. And I'll tell you, brother, it looks like his prophecy may come true. Amen. But the problem, the devil always attacks within.
Amen.
He attacks the home, and that's what's wrong with the church today. So as goes the home, so goes the church.
Yeah.
And brother, that's the way it goes. Amen.
Amen.
Well, if you got Satan showing up in verse 1, we know it ain't going to be long till sin shows up.
Right.
And in verse 6, he says, and when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The eyes of them both were open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now this verse tells me the first mention of sin.
Right.
Concerning humanity.
Amen,
we'll have the first mention of Satan there in verse 1. And then we get just 6 verses down, we have the first mention of sin.
Amen.
And once again, these verses tell us so much about sin. It tells us here, it says, and when the woman saw, she was there, she saw, and she was attracted to what he had. That tells me this, sin is attractive.
Oh, yes.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Nobody's going to be tempted with ugly.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Sin's attractive.
Yeah.
When you find men like David, and that was tempted and committed adultery with Bathsheba, the Bible tells us she was a beautiful woman.
Right.
We see Joseph that did not fall to the temptation of Pharaoh's wife, Potiphar's wife. When we see Joseph, even though he didn't fall, we know that she was one of the most beautiful women, no doubt in all of Egypt. Amen. So we see that sin is always attractive.
Yeah.
And you know the devil knows how to display stuff.
Right. Well,
right.
But you know display's got a whole lot to do with sales.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
If you can display it right, if you can display it to be appealing, somebody will buy it.
Yeah.
That's why you got that car you're making $500 a month payment on. They displayed it. They made it look like, you know, it was really good. It was really something. Amen. So the devil knows how to display things. If you don't believe it, just take a drive up 31 or go toward Louisville on 65 or any of the major interstates and look at the billboards. And you'll see, boy, he knows how to display stuff. He knows how to make sin attractive. Amen.
Right.
That's
right.
If sin wasn't attractive, there wouldn't be nobody ever drawn to it.
Right.
I think the devil had that fruit. We won't debate over what it is.
Bless him, Lord.
I think he had that fruit.
Yeah.
And he probably shined it up, or he had a big cluster of it.
Bless him, Lord.
Whatever it was, I think the devil was standing there, and I think he was enjoying himself.
Right.
Because it said the woman saw.
Right.
The woman saw that it was good for food. She saw it. Amen.
Right.
So the devil makes it attractive. He attracts young people to alcohol. He attracts young people to fornication, all kinds of things because he makes it look good. Amen.
Right.
But then this tells me this. Sin is not only attractive, but sin is pleasurable.
Well,
right.
Says in verse 6, it was pleasant to the eyes.
Yeah.
Pleasant to the eyes. If sin wasn't pleasant, people wouldn't do it.
Right.
And you know it's attractive and you know it's pleasant because just trying to get somebody to give it up.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
Right.
They love it. Amen. And you know, in our kind of a day, it says in the last days that men would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God.
Right.
Amen.
So man would rather golf than hear about God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Man would rather feast than fast and pray.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So we're drawn to pleasure. That's one of the things of our last days is that people are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God.
Amen.
If you don't believe it, look at the ball stadiums on television. If you don't believe it, look at the racetrack stadium. If you don't believe it, look at the parks. Look at the places of pleasure. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with pleasure. God wants us to enjoy life, but pleasure's not to be our God.
Amen.
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 Place of God. Amen. Amen.
We should love God more than we love pleasure.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. People like the channels better than they like the chapters.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
People like the fishing better than they like the feeding of the Word of God.
Amen.
I'm telling you, we're living in a time when the Bible says that men are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God.
Right.
Sin's attractive. Sin is pleasurable. Did you know Hebrews 11 said there's pleasure in sin?
Yeah.
Right.
That's what it says. There's pleasure in sin.
Right.
When you were sinning, you got some pleasure out of it, or you wouldn't have kept doing it. You wouldn't have been doing it.
Right.
But let's tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help us God.
Right.
The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season.
Amen. Right.
It soon runs out.
Right.
The party has to end someday.
Amen.
The consequences of sin has its effect upon your health someday. There's pleasure in sin for a season.
Amen.
But there's pleasure in the things of God forever. Amen.
Amen.
In His presence are joys forevermore. So we realize this morning that this first mention of sin tells us it's attractive, it's pleasurable. But then we notice this, it said in the eyes of them both were open, sin changes people.
Right.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Yeah.
Yes,
it does.
You cannot be involved in sin and it not change you.
Right. Amen.
No way. Amen.
Amen.
Sin just has a changing effect, just like getting saved has a changing effect.
Amen.
Just like getting right with God, being where you need to be with God has a change.
Amen.
I like to see somebody come in and they got the world all over them, but they get saved. And nobody preaches to them or nobody legislates some morality to them and says, you got to cut your hair this short or I got to get your dresses down to here. Nobody don't do that, but the Holy Spirit's living inside of them. And in a little while, they come in and they got a good haircut. In a little while, the dresses start coming down. In a little while, they start looking more like a child of God.
Amen. 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 Amen, brother. Amen.
I like a salvation that changes.
Amen.
Starts on the inside, but works its way through to the outside after a while. Don't you believe that?
Yes.
Sin changed them. Now I don't believe, and you may disagree with me here, and I wouldn't fuss with you over it. But I always believed that the woman was by herself when Satan came. Now I know verse 6 says that she gave unto her husband with her.
Right.
But I believe he had come up after the fact. I can't really prove that, but I believe he'd come up, and I believe that she had already partaken of this fruit. And I believe there was a drastic change.
Yes, right.
And I think when Adam walked in there, if speculating is true, I think when Adam walked in there, he looked at her and said, "What happened to you?" Her countenance had changed. Her beauty was gone. Her covering was gone. And I think he went in there and he looked at her and said, "Oh my, what happened to you?" And I think she said, "I ate this fruit and this is what happened." And I think, I really believe this, I believe that from that moment on, down throughout to this present moment, I believe every woman always walks into her husband and says, "How I look." How do I look?
Yeah.
You say, why? It goes all the way back to Eve, who sinned the first time. And sin will always change you.
Yes.
Amen.
I watched people for 35 years as I pastored and preached and tried to shepherd people. And I've seen people get sin in their life. And I don't know much about it. I just know there's an outward change coming. Amen.
Amen.
And I've had people to point it out to me. I remember one time, Mammy, God bless her heart. I remember her one time, I was over at Benson talking to her, and she was talking about one of our men in the church, and she said, "Have you noticed that he started to let his hair grow down a little bit? He never wore it like it." I hadn't noticed. I hadn't paid no attention. But after she pointed it out, I noticed that it was going in that direction. I noticed the clothes changing. I noticed the habits changing. And you know what? It wasn't 6 months that fella had left his wife, got completely out of church. You say, what you're saying? I'm saying that sin will make a change in your life.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
You won't even notice it.
Right.
It was done. Amen.
Amen.
First mention of Satan, first mention of sin. Well, if you got in sin, we got to have a Savior.
Amen.
Verse 8, it says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said, Adam, where art thou?"
Thank you.
Now, I'm going to call this the first mention of the Savior in the Bible. And he shows up after. Now, I'm going to say this about Adam and Eve. Now, they done wrong. They sinned.
Right.
But I want to give them this. They do more than a lot of people do in 2015. They knew they were naked.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
A lot of people don't know that.
Right.
Go to Walmart. Go down to the gas store. Just go out different places. You ought to study and find out what the Bible calls nakedness.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
Bless
you,
Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
They made themselves aprons, mini skirts. That's the first mini skirt in the Bible. And God didn't like it then, he don't like them now.
Amen. Amen.
So they made themselves aprons and they sewed them together, but they knew they were naked. They at least knew they needed to cover up and need to put some clothes on.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
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 I tell you, if people would put clothes on,
bless him, Lord.
Rape and all this stuff would probably go down.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
You say, well, they oughtn't to rape them. I know they oughtn't, but when you got a pervert out there, when you got somebody out there that's already got problems and they have to deal with that kind of stuff, it only makes it worse on them. The devil only tempts them more and makes it worse. And that's why I think the Bible teaches that we ought to wear modest apparel. That's not just for the women, that's for the men, that's for everybody. I'd rather have moms and parents, children of God, amen. I like winter time. About 30 below. Wow, you don't see nobody with short shorts on off the top. Amen. I may move to Alaska. But here they are, and they've sinned, and it's changed them, and they look different. They're talking different. They used to love God. They used to want to walk with God.
Yeah.
But now they're hiding from God.
Oh, man.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
See, it'll make you hide.
Right. Right.
Amen. God, amen.
Amen.
Right. I've been out at Walmart, you know, be at the front of one aisle, look down and see one of my ex-members on the other end.
Yeah.
And they look up there and they see me, and boy, they jump into the next aisle. I just jump in, I run them down, I just find them. I'm going to shake hands with them, whether they like it or not. Amen. Now, I can't tell you how many times I've been in a restaurant and seen one of my ex-members. I jotted down on a piece of paper Genesis 35:1 and put a little note there. Read it when you get home. You say, what's Genesis 35:1 say? Go back to Bethel, amen. Go back to Bethel. That's what they need to do.
Amen.
So they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. Now, I call this the first mention of the Savior, and he shows up after man sinned. I'm glad that God had a plan before man sinned.
Oh, yes.
I'm glad that before God ever made a man, God already had a plan. I'm glad before there was ever a sin, there was already a Savior. I'm glad for that this morning. And he shows up as soon as man sins. He shows up, and the Bible said they heard him. I believe you can hear God.
Amen.
Amen.
And then it said they hid from him, but you can't hide from him.
Right. Right.
He said, Adam, where are you?
He
knew where he was. He's trying to get Adam to see where he is.
Right.
That's what the Lord does. He tries to get us to see where we're at.
That's right.
Where we're at spiritually, to see that we're lost. Because until he can get us to see we're lost, we'll never look for a Savior.
Right.
And so he shows up and you can hear him, but you can't hide from him. People have tried all down through the time, tried to hide from God.
Amen.
But you can't hide from God.
That's right.
Me and my sisters used to play hide and seek when we was little kids. And one of us would get on a tree and count to 100, everybody else run to hide. Sometimes, you know, you could hide good enough that they wouldn't find you. But you can't hide good enough that God won't find you.
That's right.
Amen.
He'll find you.
Amen.
And then when he found him, the Lord asked him, said, Adam, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid. I was naked and I hid myself. You know, there's three after effects of sin.
Right.
It'll make you afraid.
Yeah,
it'll make you naked. It'll make you hide yourself.
Right.
There's three effects of sin. And the Bible said that Adam said, I've sinned, Lord. And you know what the Lord's doing? He's trying to get an honest confession out of him.
Amen.
Bless him, Lord.
Now, here's the first in the Bible. Here's the first argument.
It's good preaching.
Between the husband and wife.
Right.
He said, who told thee thou was naked? Hast thou eaten the tree whereof I commanded thee thou shouldest not eat? A man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me the tree and I did eat. He said, it's my wife's fault.
Accountability.
Then he asked the woman, he said, what is this thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did it. So that's where we got the little cliche, the devil made me do it. Amen? And so here they are. And the Lord's just trying to get them to be honest.
Amen.
You've got to be honest with God before He can help you.
Amen.
God can't help nobody. It's not honest.
Right.
Right.
Said He desires truth in the inward part.
That's right.
He wants you to be honest and say, Lord, I am a sinner.
Amen.
He wants you to be honest and say, Lord, I am lost. I do need to be saved.
Heaven.
Lord, I am saved, but I have drifted away, Lord. I am out of fellowship with you. God wants you to be honest.
Amen.
Amen.
Then, verse 14, we have the Satan, and then sin, and then the Savior. But then we have the first mention of a sentence in the Bible. I mean like a jail sentence. And he says in verse 14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly thou shalt go, and the dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And we know during the millennial that God will lift the curse off the earth. But you know, he leaves it on that devil. He still has to go on his belly. Even then, right. But he puts a sentence on the devil. And then he comes down to the woman and the man. And he says in verse 16 unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband. He shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and is eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, and for dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. Now you can believe the word of God.
Amen, brother. Amen.
How many mamas in here have babies? Raise your hand. Did it hurt? How many? You see us right here?
Yeah.
That's part of what happened right there.
Right.
And we can, if that part's true, it's all true.
Amen. Amen.
But we know that God had already told him in verse 17, in the day you eat thereof, you will surely die.
Yeah.
He told him that. But here we see that this sentence that God gives here, that it tells us in an essence a definition of sin. What is sin? Sin is transgression of the law.
Amen.
Right.
That's God's own definition. That's not Webster's. That's God's.
Right.
Sin is transgression of the law. We have God's law.
Right.
And if we've broken in any place, we have sinned.
Amen.
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 Amen. I'm preaching, Brother Rick.
Can you believe that anybody would even dare to say that they don't sin every day?
Yeah.
Can you believe that there's people, and I've had them tell me that I'm not a sinner. Sinner is transgression of the law, and it says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Right.
There's none good, no, not one. By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so then that all men must die.
Right.
Because we've all sinned. There's not a just man in all the earth that doeth good and sinneth not.
Amen.
So God gives this sentence here. Now sin carries with it a death sentence.
Yes, right.
Amen.
You probably seen on the news this week where they finished up the trial of one of those bombers and they give him the death sentence.
Yeah.
Of course, it's probably 20 years before they carried out.
Right. Yeah.
But that ain't the way it was in Bible times.
Amen.
You committed adultery, they took you out and stoned you.
Yeah.
See John 8. When you sinned in the Bible, sin brought death. Adam and Eve had sinned, and we know that their sin had brought spiritual death to them.
Right.
And also physical death. They died spiritually that day, but they died physically many years later on.
Right.
And sin carries with it a death penalty.
Right. Amen.
Sin has a definite judge.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Genesis 18:25, you know what Abraham called God? The judge of all earth.
Yeah.
Not Judge Judy or Judge Bobby or Judge Billy.
Right.
The judge God.
Amen. Amen.
Acts 17, it says that God has appointed a day in which he'll judge all the world.
Right.
By that man, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
There is a judge. You can't buy him off.
Right.
Amen.
There is a judge. He won't make any mistake.
Right.
There is a judge. There won't be any appeals.
Yes.
Once the sentence is passed and you start serving, it's over with. There ain't going to be nothing done. They ain't going to find nothing back here. God ain't going to never say, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have put you in hell. God ain't going to say, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have chased you. No, whenever God makes a judgment, it's always right.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't always look right, but it's always right.
That's right,
Amen.
Brother.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Right.
First mention of a sentence. You see, every sinner that's not saved is under a death sentence.
That's right.
The wages of sin is death.
Indeed.
It's worse than if you were sitting in a penitentiary this morning on death row waiting. It's worse than that.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about the second death.
Right.
We're talking about separation from God.
Amen.
We're talking about eternity in hell.
Amen.
We're talking about a hopeless place of despair where nobody will ever get out.
That's right.
We're talking about, that's what the Lord is talking about here. When the wages of sin is death. Death. Wages of sin.
Amen.
If there hadn't been no sin, there wouldn't have been no death.
Right. Amen.
Now, Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die.
Yeah.
And after this, the judgment.
Amen.
So, sin is passed upon all, death is passed upon all men because all men have sinned.
Amen. Right.
And if you try to tell me you're not a sinner, I'm going to follow you.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep up with you.
Yeah.
When I pick up the paper one day and they got your name in there, the funeral arrangements, I'm going to say, I know he lied.
Right.
Because when people sin, they die.
Amen.
Amen.
So we got Satan, we got the first mention of sin, we got the first mention of the Savior, we got the first mention of a sentence.
Yeah.
But thank God we got the first mention of hinting of salvation.
Amen.
Verse 21 said unto Adam also unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And he clothed them.
Thank you, Lord.
Now this is the first mention of salvation.
Amen.
And in that one little verse, and it's not even a very long verse of that, just a few words, but in that one little verse, we have a hint here of a substitute. Somebody's going to take somebody's place.
Amen.
Right.
Somebody that ought to die is not going to die because something else is going to die.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Salvation has to do with a substitute.
Amen.
You say, what was it? I believe it was a lamb.
Amen.
Right.
It doesn't say it here, but in chapter 4, Cain and Abel are bringing their sacrifices to God, and I'm sure their mother and father must have instructed them or they wouldn't have knew what to do. And it says that Abel brought of the firstling of his flock. Abel brought a lamb to God. Right. And there's no other animal in the Bible that would so picture Jesus Christ as a little lamb.
Yeah.
Because when he came, John the Baptist said, behold, I'm the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world.
Yeah.
In Exodus 12, when the death angel was passing through, it was a lamb they killed and put the blood upon the doorpost.
Right.
And I believe it was a lamb here.
Amen.
You know, up to this time, nothing ever died.
Right.
Up to this time, no blood had been seen.
Right.
Bless you, Lord.
Right.
Can you imagine the horror of Adam and Eve as they stood there and watched God prepare that sacrifice, watched God prepare that lamb.
Yeah, right.
Cut its throat and the blood and the little cries of that little lamb.
Right.
Can you imagine the horror in their heart as they stood there and said, oh my God, what have we done? Oh my God, what have I done? Well, transfer that and go to Calvary and we'll look at the little lamb hanging down on the cross. He's beaten, he's bleeding. They spit on him, they lied about him, they jerked out his beard. They whipped him with a whip. And look up there, and if you got the right thing in your heart, you ought to look up there and say, oh my God, what have we done? Look what we've caused. Amen. There he is, and he's a substitute. Woo. He's taken your place in my place.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him.
That's right.
Bob, the substitute. Bob, the sacrifice.
Right.
I mean, He didn't just get the lamb, He had to kill the lamb.
Right. Yeah.
Jesus just couldn't come and live a perfect life for 33 years and go back to heaven. He had to die.
That's right.
Amen.
The sacrifice, it involved death. It involved blood.
Yeah.
Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin.
Amen.
It takes blood to get rid of your sin.
Amen.
It takes a special kind of blood to get rid of your sin.
Yeah.
It takes perfect blood to get rid of your sin.
Amen.
Here lately I've been asking folks, and when I talk to them, I say, how good do you think a person has to be to go to heaven? And they'll always say, well, not too good. I say, oh no, you're way off. They have to be perfect.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
boy, they get that funny look on their face and they say, well, they ain't nobody perfect. Say, bingo. That's why Jesus came. Perfect man, lived a perfect life, died a perfect death, was resurrected in a perfect glorified body, perfect all the way. And he came down. And you know why? I mean, the very idea of saying, I get saved, but I can't live it.
Oh, amen, yeah. Brother Rick.
Right.
If you could live it, he would have never come down.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I do not frustrate the grace of God.
Amen.
If righteousness come by the law, then Christ died in vain.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Galatians 2:21. If you could have lived it, if you could have saved yourself, God would have never gave His Son to die and suffer to save you. But you see, it took a sacrifice. It took the blood of the Son of God.
Amen.
And so they killed that lamb. Yes. Substitute sacrifice. Yes.
Amen.
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 Then something to cover their sins.
That's right.
He said He took... And the Lord God made them coats of skin. Here's the difference between God's idea of morality and yours.
Right.
They made themselves skirts.
Right.
Aprons. God made coats.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
God made coats.
Right.
Amen. I never will forget Steve Coble preaching one time, and he said that he's talking about morality and modesty, and he said that God even put feathers on the chicken's leg down to its knees.
Yeah.
Something to cover them, to clothe them. Clothe them. They'd been naked, Eddie.
Yeah.
They seemed to have been clothed with kind of a Shekinah glory or something before. But after they sinned, they lost that and they were naked.
Yeah.
Their bodies started to deteriorate. Sin's already took its hold. And the marks of sin are there. But God kills a lamb and then He makes a coat and He puts that coat around them. And when you put that coat around them, you can't see their sinful bodies anymore.
Yeah.
I tell you, thank God when you get saved, He gives you a robe of righteousness.
Amen.
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 That's right.
When the prodigal son came home, his father said, go kill the fatted calf. And he said, bring forth not a robe, bring forth not just any robe. He said, bring forth the best robe. And put it on him. I tell you, the best robe there is the one Jesus Christ gives you. How to cover your sins, thank God. I like that song they sang. When he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. He clothes me in garments made white than snow. For the Lamb of God is worthy. He washed me, this I know.
Hallelujah.
You know that this morning? First mention of salvation.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, I know who the devil is.
Oh, yes.
I know what sin is. I've done plenty of that.
Right.
I know who the Savior is, Jesus Christ.
Right.
I know what the sentence is if you don't get saved.
Right.
Death, separation from God, eternity in hell.
Yes.
But I know what salvation is.
Woo! Glory to God.
Yes.
I didn't realize this till just a few weeks ago, but me and Brother Nathan got saved at the same church. And Temple Hill Baptist Church, on a Sunday morning, I went down. The Lord convicted my heart.
Amen.
And I went down and asked the Lord to save me. And God saved me that morning. And I've been saved ever since.
Amen, Brother Ray.
Amen.
If you got really, truly saved, you'll be saved forevermore.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
But if you're not saved, you need to get saved.
That's right.
Amen. Yes, you do.
Because there's a devil, there's sin.
Yes.
There's a sentence, but thank God there's a Savior.
Amen. Praise the
Lord. As you stand with me this morning, ask Nathan to come to the piano if he would, some later to come. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you today. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God, a completed Bible that we can hold in our hands. We thank you, Lord, for this book of beginnings. Lord, we don't need the Darwinism.
Amen.
Lord, we don't need a Big Bang Theory.
Yes.
Lord, we have a Bible that tells us where we came from, where we're going.
That's right.
A lot of things in between.
Thank you.
And I'm glad, Lord, you give me the faith to believe it. And I pray for somebody here today that's lost that needs the Lord. I pray that God will convict them. Holy Spirit, convict them. And I pray the word of God will convince them that they need to come the day they're saved.
Yes, help
them. They can leave here this morning converted by the Holy Ghost of God, mm-hmm. saved, changed by the power of God.
Yes.
Lord, help us this morning deal with those that are in the far country, those that are away from God at this time, but saved. I pray you deal with them this morning in this service. We'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
As we sing this morning.
Page 101.
Guarantee you nobody wants to go there.
Amen.
All right. Any word on anyone's heart this morning?
I'd like to thank the Lord for saving me, and I'm glad he is a seeking Savior.
Yes,
I remember back when I was a sinful man, had no regard for God or the Word of God or work of God or anything. And I'm glad that he comes seeking me. And I got a little boy, got this center in church. I heard the preaching of the Word of God, and it is powerful.
Amen.
I remember getting a hold of me. I remember I couldn't shake it. I couldn't deny it. I couldn't get away from it. And I'm glad he finished it. I'm glad I'm not the man I was before he sought me. And I thank God he saved me. And I'm like old Paul. I found in him not my own righteousness, which is after the law, but the righteousness of Christ. He put a coat on me, and I thank him for that. I praise God for that.
Amen.
What a good preaching message today. Would to God the whole world were here
yes.
to hear it.
Amen.
Much needed.
Yes.
All right. Be back tonight at 6 o'clock. We'll be having preaching tonight at 6, and we hope you'll come out. Mm-hmm. Anybody else need to testify this morning? All right. If all hearts are clear, turn around, shake someone's hand, and you're free to go. Lord bless you.
Amen.
Mm.